Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about a subject called After Your Armor Is On. Now, I want you to notice in the title, I kind of gave you a little hint as to where we're going, ... Because tonight, we're going to talk about what to do after your armor is on. We can find in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, if you want to turn there with me, about the armor of God, great section of Scripture, and most of us know it. Most of us know that we should be wearing it. Most of us know, what to do with it, that sort of a thing. But there's something else that I believe that the Spirit of God wants to speak to us tonight about what to do after your armor's on. There's something that we have to do. There's something that we have to have an attitude about. There's something that we have to make sure that we understand so that after our armor's on, we'll be standing when the fight's over. Are you listening tonight? Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're going to start in verse number 10, if you will. Ephesians 6, chapter verse 10, we're going to read through verse number 19. We're going to draw some truths out as we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Everybody say, be strong in the Lord. See, first of all, we got to understand that this is not about us being strong in our own strength. Because I'm so mighty, I'm so educated, I'm so wonderful, I'm so cool or smart or nice or talented, it's going to get the job done. No, not going to work, not going to make it. What's going to make it is be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, maybe you didn't know it coming into this place tonight, but there is an enemy of your soul that's out there. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. The Bible also says that we're not unaware of his devices. Our society would like to tell us that there is no devil, that that's just a fairy tale, that that's not real. Well, listen, you can go on ignoring him while he eats you alive, but I choose to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ went to the cross, why? To defeat the works of the devil and to release those who were subject to bondage all their lives. If you take one away, then you don't have the whole truth any longer. You've got part of the story, and you may go to heaven, but you're going to live miserable here on the earth because the devil is going to knock you from pillar to post if you just ignore him or bury your head in the sand and say, there is no devil, he doesn't exist. It doesn't work. The devil is real. Jesus talked about him, Old and New Testament. Jesus talked to him in the New Testament. I mean, come on, is Jesus crazy? No. He's the Almighty. He's God in the flesh. He's the person of truth, and therefore, he's not going to lie to us. He's going to steer us in the right direction. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, there is a spiritual demonic order and organization that's been around for a long, long time, that's been studying humanity, that knows our moves, knows our looks. Now, can't read your mind or anything like that, but understands human nature, understands different things, can put thoughts into our minds, can whisper little things to us, like burning little coals being thrown into your thinking. Those things can be planted into the minds of men and women. And so, says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, if you're having a bad day, your enemy is not your boss. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your children. Your enemy is not the sinners that are out there in the world. Your enemy is not the politicians. Your enemy is not the guy at the grocery counter that gave you a hard time. No, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, because we're in a battle, take up the whole armor of God. Not half. Not three quarters. Not 99.9%. No, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many of you know that the days are evil? Okay? And we got to withstand. And having done all, to stand. In other words, there's a part that we play. Having done all. God does all, we do all. There's a partnership that's taking place. God's going to do his part. We got to get in there and do our part. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now that was a mouthful, that was a lot. We could spend weeks and have spent in the past in this church, weeks and even months on these subjects, on these verses. You can get a hold of those CDs at the CD counter if you want to find out more about that. But let me just give you a quick overview, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about. Because he says, I want you to put on your armor. Now, he starts out with the armor in verse number 13. He says, having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. See, truth holds us together. Like we talked about, Jesus is the person of truth. And as you wrap Jesus around your life, now you are stable, you're strong, you're steady. You know, the belt back in these days wasn't like the belt that we have that just holds up our pants, you know, or as a fashion statement. Their belt literally girded them. It was like a girdle, if you get that word. You know what I mean? It supported them. It held them together. They could put their money bag in it. They could put their sword in it. They could tuck their clothes into it so that they could run, that sort of a thing. Their belt literally held them together. Let truth hold you together. Let the truth of God's word hold your life together. Having your waist girded about with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What covers your heart is the righteousness of God, that you are in the right position as well as the right practice with God. That's going to guard you. I love the verse in the book of Proverbs in the New International Version. It says, righteousness guards the man of integrity. See, nothing can come against your heart when you've got righteousness on. And then it goes on and it says, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we need to always be prepared to go and do what God has called us to do, to go and preach the gospel, to go out and tell someone about Jesus. It is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember, we talked about those little thoughts that the devil's trying to throw at you. It's almost like he's got these little flaming missiles he's trying to send into your thinking to explode on the inside of you and to just wreck you, get you all messed up, get you thinking about that thing, have whatever thought processes you had going on completely destroyed. But see, if you lift up your shield, taking up the shield, you've got to get a hold of that shield of faith. And as you lift that up, those fiery darts are going to hit that shield and they're going to be quenched. What does that mean? The fire goes out, they're going to bounce off, and they're not going to be effective at all in your life. Taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. See, when you're saved, now you've got a saved mind, a saved thinking. Your mind is renewed to the word of God. And now that covers your head and protects you. No longer are you operating the old ways and the old man and the old thinking. No, now you're linked up with the Spirit of God and His will and His way. Finally, it says, in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we understand that that sword, Jesus has a sword coming out of his mouth in the book of Revelation. And when Jesus was battling the devil, he didn't pull out a physical sword. No, he said, it is written. And he started to speak the word of God out of his mouth. And every time, it was as if Jesus took a physical sword out and it is written, whoosh, it is written, whoosh, it is written, whoosh, and then the devil had to run away. He had to flee and look for an opportune time. Why? Because Jesus had that sword of the Spirit coming out of his mouth. See, sometimes if the devil comes knocking and you've got your face shield up, you've got your armor on, hey, not enough just to sit there and take it. No, take out your sword, and when the devil comes at you with a dart, you come at him with the sword. No, devil, it is written. And you start to declare the word of God out of your mouth, and that sharp two-edged sword will come out and it will divide and it will take out the enemy. So now we know what it is. Now we understand that. But what do we do after the armor's on? What to do after your armor's on? Now I've got remember I said the dot, 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 that little ellipses or whatever it's called. After your armor is on, first one for tonight is stay connected to God. Remember we said this, you're not at this alone. You're not going to get out there and do this in your own strength. The only way that the armor does you any good is if you're connected to the Lord. Think about it like a vacuum cleaner. That vacuum cleaner will only be effective if it's plugged into the wall. Is that right? It doesn't do anything unless it's connected to the power source. The moment that you disconnect, no more suction, no more effectiveness. Same thing with our lives. We have to stay connected to the power source. We got to keep ourselves in connection with God. And if we've got our spiritual armor on, that's great, but we got to stay connected to the Lord. That's why it says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I looked this verse up in the Amplified Bible because I wanted to say this point a little bit louder. And in the Amplified Bible, that's a joke, by the way. In the Amplified Bible, it says this. Okay, I'll put it up on the overheads for you so you can read along on the overheads. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 in the Amplified. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. And now it gives you a little parenthesis. It expands on it. That's why it's called Amplified. It gives you a little bit more. Be empowered through your union with him. In other words, don't find your strength in yourself. Find your strength in himself. Are you listening? Stay connected to the power source. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Now, my Bible says that my God is a warrior. Is that what your Bible says? Mighty to save. Mighty in battle. That he rides on the clouds, and when his feet touch the mountains, they melt like wax. That he draws his bow, and his arrows go flying forward, and they flash like lightning. My goodness, you look at that. Let me ask you a question in this place tonight. I want you to answer the question, okay? You didn't come to sit in a seat and stare at me. Praise God. Came to participate. You are the church, so you got to participate now. So, okay, everybody's got their attention here. How mighty is God? How powerful is God? Well, how much ability does God have? I mean, come on now. Is God's strength sapped? Does God ever get tired? Does God ever grow weary? Does God sleep? Does God slumber? Can God take care of your problems? Does God have limitless power? That's my God. See, that's your God. So when we disconnect from the power source, not going to work. You got to stay connected. Otherwise, if we disconnect, we'll end up like Samson. Remember Samson? After he got a haircut. What happened? He disconnected from what was keeping him strong. Is that right? And what did he say when little Miss Thang woke him up? Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He got up and he said, I'll go out like I used to. Oh, no, but Samson, you've disconnected from the power source. And what happened? They put him in chains and put his eyes out. The Bible says his hair began to grow again. See, maybe you've disconnected tonight. I'm here to tell you there's good news for you. Get reconnected. Get back to where you need to be with God. You can get the power back. Don't stay disconnected. You know when you mess up? Anybody other than Pastor Dan, brave enough to admit, because I'll admit it, my hand went up first. Anybody else want to admit, we messed up. Okay, see, in those times, you don't want to show your face in church, right? Why? Because you think everybody in the church is a prophet and they know what you did, right? And they got to be judging me. I just know, you know, church folk, I'm going to walk in and they're going to read it all over my face. And no, listen, we're all there. Confess it. Confess it to the Lord. Make restitution with who you need to make it with. And let's put it under the blood of Jesus. Allow him to cleanse you and reconnect. That means change. Repentance means I'm changing my mind. I realize I'm dumb. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm going the wrong way. And now I'm going to turn away from where I was going. And I'm going to turn to where God has me to go. I'm going to reconnect with the power source. See, after the armor's on, you got to stay connected. Are you listening tonight? Second thing for tonight. This is just a simple gospel preaching message. Is that okay? Second thing tonight, after your armor is on, there's a fight ahead. I don't know anybody that puts on armor without a fight ahead. Is that right? Even if they're just putting the armor on to test it, how do you test armor? You go and you fight somebody, right? Hit me in the face. Let's see if it hurts. Ding, you know. Go ahead, give me one of the chest, you know. What are you doing? There's something that's happening. when you put your armor on. Every day, you need to recognize and realize that we're in a battle. There's an enemy of our soul that's out there prowling around, trying to get in our business, trying to mess things up, trying to screw us up, trying to get us off, trying to get us disconnected. Come on, somebody. And so therefore, we need to recognize and realize when we put our armor on, after our armor on, that's when the fight happens. Look at the language used throughout this passage. Verse 11, it says, stand against. Verse number 12 says, wrestle against. Verse number 13 says, withstand, having done all to stand. Verse number 14, stand therefore. See, there's some language, and really if you look at it, it's an escalating, progressive language that shows us about the fight. See, it may start with this, stand against, right? You got your armor on. You're going throughout your day. Something happens that's ungodly, and you stand against it. You say, that's ungodly. What did you do? You stood up for what was right. You stood up for what was true. You stood up for your convictions, your godly convictions that came from the Word of God. And you said, no. Now, the moment that happens, there's the fight. Is that right? The moment you stand up, the devil's going to try and knock you down. So now, all of a sudden, you're in a fight. So that's where the second verse comes in, verse number 12, where you wrestle against. See, first, you may be sitting there, something happens, and you say, oh, no. Boom, that thing jumps on you, right? Now all of a sudden you're wrestling. Now all of a sudden you're punching. Now all of a sudden you're fighting. Now you got your sword out. Now you got your shield up. Now you're kicking. Now you're scrapping, right? You're biting. You're doing whatever you can to make sure that you've got the victory. That's why it goes on, and look at what it says, withstand. You know what withstanding is? That's not a passive just holding a pose. No, that is active resistance against the enemy. In other words, devil, I'm not going to give you any foothold in my life. I stood up, I'm wrestling with you, but now I'm withstanding you. Here's the line drawn in the sand that you cannot cross, and therefore you will go no further. You're only coming to this point, and I'm not letting down, and I'm not letting up. I'm not giving up, because to get through me, you got to go through God. And then look at what it says next. Having done all. See, you may have to spend all of your time, all of your willpower, and your resources in order to fight this good fight of faith. God is not looking for people who will fight for a little while and then sit on the side and bellyache and bawl and squall. Well, I tried, I gave my best, you know, but I'm just out, I'm done, down for the count, got knocked down, got a tooth knocked out, and I just can't handle this anymore. No, God is looking for the courageous. People who will commit to fight until the end. People who are going to not let up, not quit. People who are going to go after it with tenacity and veracity. People who are looking into the face of the devil without fear. You know why you can do that? Because he's a defeated foe. He's already under your feet, the Bible says. All you're doing is enforcing the victory of Jesus Christ. So you withstand. You say no. And you draw that line and you hold that line. And then finally he says, stand therefore. In other words, at the end of the fight, you're going to be the one left victorious with your hand up, Jesus holding up your hand, and the devil is under your feet. Are you here tonight? Hallelujah. After your armor is on, here's where I really wanted to get tonight. I want to spend a little bit of time here. After your armor is on, look at this one, pray. After your armor is on, pray. If you were wondering, Pastor Dan, how do I punch the devil in the face? How do I pull out my sword and slice him and dice him? How do I kick him in the rear and kick him out of my life? Here's how. Pray. That is where the battle is fought. That is where the battle is won. It's in your prayers. Take a look at verse number 18 once again. Verse number 18, Ephesians the 6th chapter says this, praying always with all prayer. See, this verse comes after your armor is on. We know that after the armor is on, stay connected. We know after the armor is on, there's a fight coming. We know that. But this verse says, put on all this armor, praying always with all prayer. No longer are we in symbolic terminology, helmets and breastplates and swords and all that kind. No, this is tangible. This is reality. This is where we fight the battle, is in our prayer life. We don't wrestle against God. No, we wrestle against the powers and the principalities and the powers of darkness. We come against those things. How? We pray. Pray, 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 pray. You guys hearing me tonight? See, I'm not a prayer person. I'm not one of those people that thrives on intercessory prayer and staying up in the middle of the night. You know, you wake me up in the middle of the night, you're going to have a wrestling match on your hand. And there's been times where I've come up against things, but I know I need to pray, and yet I've been too lazy to pray. That's just me. Of course, you guys are more spiritual, and so none of you have this issue. So it's just confession night with Pastor Dan here. But you know, I think God wants such a partnership and such an intimate union with us. And the way that that happens is in prayer. So you may go into your prayer closet defeated. You may go into your prayer closet wondering if your prayers are just hitting the roof, bouncing right back down on you. Does God hear? Does God see? But when you walk out of that prayer closet, you now have everything that you have need. You have won the battle. And he says there's many types of prayer. You know what type of prayer you should use? All of them. Plain and simple. If you get in your word, you will find, he says, supplications. He talks about asking prayers. Lord, I need this. God, will you supply that? Prayer of agreement. Get somebody with you. Hey, will you agree with me in prayer? Yes, let's believe God for that together. Bible says whatever you agree upon on earth is agreed upon in heaven. Listen, if my prayers are agreed upon in heaven, then I know I got them. Prayer in Jesus' name. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Oh my goodness, that means that when I pray, I go to the Father and I pray in Jesus' name, and then I know that I have pray according to the will of God. Pray in the will of God. You know what's an easy way to pray the will of God? Pray His word. You know why? Because God said it, therefore He agrees with it. And the Bible says in 1 John the 5th chapter that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. Pray those prayers. Pray prayers of repentance. Pray prayers of faith. Pray prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of praise. Prayers of lament. Did you know it's okay to go to God and say, God, I'm having a bad day? Sometimes we think we can't pray those prayers. We think that we've got to go to God so holy and so pious and so righteous that, like, it's our own thing. You know, oh, thou heavenly Father, God Almighty, dear Lord Jesus, the most holy potentate, preeminent one, I come to you today and I give you my life. If it be your will, Lord, just do something, I hope. Amen. Amen. You know, and God's going, shut up. I don't listen to those types of prayers, you know? Well, He may not say that to you, but He says it to me when I do it. But in any event, God is saying it's okay to be you when you come to me. Just don't leave the same. Connect with God. See, you'll find prayers. If you're having trouble praying, go get in the Psalms. And listen to the voice of the cries of the men and women who have gone before us. Get into the book of Lamentations. Here's a man who is considered the weeping prophet, pouring out his heart before God. See, there's a real raw type of prayer that you can get in with God and you can start to say, God, I'm a mess. Clean me up. God, I'm angry. Lord, help me to see clearly. God, I don't know what to do. I need direction. God, I'm just confused. Can you bring some clarity and shed some light? See, if you get real with God, the Bible says draw near to God, He will draw near to you. When you get real with God, you honor God. The Bible says you will be honored by God. He draws near and He will respond and meet you where you're at. That's our God, and that's where the victory is won. If there's obstacles in the way, it's in prayer that you move those obstacles. See, what good is it to speak to the mountain if you're speaking by yourself? No, you get God, and if God says, go ahead, speak, then you speak. Why? Because you're connected to the power source. Hello? Like what S.D. Gordon said, he said, prayer is striking the winning blow, service is gathering up the results. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Did you catch that? Oswald Chambers, who wrote My Utmost for His Highest, said this. He said, get into the habit of dealing with God about everything. In other words, don't leave any rooms in your life locked and unavailable to God. Open it all up for him. Throw open the curtains. Invite him into every area of your life. Pastor, what if it hurts? It'll only hurt for a little while. Because God is the healer. And even though he may cut you open, he's going to sew you back up. And it'll be better on the other side than it was before. Get into the habit of dealing with God about everything. Unless in the first waking moment of the day you learn to fling the door wide back and let God in, you will work on a wrong level all day. But swing the door wide open and pray to your Father in secret, and every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God. Since it's confession night, can I make some confessions up in front of you tonight? Past couple days, I believe the reason why I have this message tonight is because the past couple days, I have woke up and hit the ground running and been like, Lord, you know, and I ran off. Now, sometimes that's okay, but, you know, past 2 days have been my days off. I've had time to pray, but I've just gotten busy about other things. And it's like Mary and Martha, right? Martha's busy about serving. All of a sudden, she's getting frustrated and telling God to do something about her sister, okay? That just is a perfect picture of how I know me personally, and sometimes we can get when we don't pray, is God, I'm busy, I'm doing the work, I'm being dad, I'm running to soccer practice, I'm going over here, I need to go to the bank, God, I need to make sure my finances are in order, God, you're asking me to tithe, and would you take care of all these other Christians? They're crazy, God, and God said, wait a second, hold up, time out. You're busy with much serving, and yet they've chosen the needful thing. This morning I got up, and the first place I went was to my knees, and I repented and said, Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me, God. I have not prayed like I need to pray. Did you know today was a much better day than the past couple of days? Today was a much better day. Today I didn't get irritated with the kids. Today, you know, I was working today too, but you know, when I was with them, they were wonderful angels, you know. But see, God takes those things, and he'll give you extra patience. God will give you extra blessing. God will give you extra wisdom. God will give you whatever. See, that's in prayer. That's where the battle is fought. If you're coming up against a spirit of anger, or a spirit of lust, or a spirit of depression, or whatever those things are, if you neglect prayer, you're neglecting what you're putting your armor on for. Because he says, praying always with all prayer and supplications. And then he goes on, he says, pray for other people. Sometimes when you pray for other people and you get unselfish, it unlocks and releases things inside of yourself. And as well, can I tell you this? The Bible commands us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That law is love, and it's the bond of unity and peace that brings us together. And when you're connected with other, see, it's like being on the battlefield with other warriors. Can't tell you how many times I've just been in prayer and the Lord's placed somebody on my heart and I prayed for them, lifted them up, and then I didn't see them for a while, and then I saw them and say, hey, I was praying for you the other day. And they said, oh man, thank you so much. You don't even know what was going on. It's the will of the Lord in prayer. After your armor is on, pray. Last one for tonight. After your armor is on. After your armor is on, enlist help. We started to go there a little bit just a moment ago. But I love the fact that the apostle leaves us an example in the Word, that God contained these scriptures and shows us a man that we look at and we look at with respect. I totally just look at the apostle Paul and I say, my goodness, you know, this guy was spiritual. This guy, heard from the Lord. This guy had unusual encounters, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. You know, he had the signs of an apostle. This guy was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. He was beaten and left out for dead. He was stoned. He was all this stuff happened to this guy. He was persecuted. People followed him from city to city, resisting his ministry. He turned the world upside down. I mean, this guy had riots because he was trying to come in and preach. And I look at all that, and here's a man who was educated and was blessed, and this guy, was a hard worker, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. My goodness, to be used by God like that. And yet, look at what he says in verse number 19. First couple of words in the verse number 19, look at this. And for me. He just said, pray always with all prayer and supplication, and pray for the saints, pray for everybody else, and we get that. But then he turns around and he says, I want you guys to pray for me. The great apostle, humbles himself and asks in a letter where he's giving them instructions and revealing to them the mysteries of God. And he turns around and he says, can you guys pray for me? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How often have I needed prayer that I've been too prideful to say, can you pray for me? Can you just give me a little bit of that? Can you remember me? Can you remind the Lord about what's going on in my life? I mean, sometimes I think we think of ourselves as such spiritual giants that if we ask for prayer that we're less of a Christian. And yet if the great apostle, this great man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, was used by God to do unusual miracles. Now, miracles in themselves are unusual, but then you add the word unusual to miracles and he really had something going on. If he can ask for prayer, how much more us? How much more should we reach out to the people around us, people in church, people sitting in front and beside you, people that you know are faith-filled and faithful, people who can lift you up and encourage you and pray prayers of faith and ask God for the right things in your life, who can be led by the Spirit of God to pray the right prayer, to pray in the God prayer for your life. See, we have several avenues, prayer teams right up here in church right afterwards. They'll stand and pray with you tonight. Tonight. Prayer cards out there in the foyer. You can go fill out a prayer request, and hundreds of people from The Rock, including all the pastors, get those prayer requests. And we pray for you. We lift you up on a daily basis, lift you up by name. My goodness. See, the apostle goes on and asks, and look at what he says. Pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's asking for them to pray for him to have courage to do his God assignment. Isn't that interesting? See, because he was in a battle, remember. He was in a battle. He was in a fight, and he realized his fight wasn't against flesh and blood. He wasn't mad at the Jews who came at him. He wasn't fighting against them. He wasn't fighting against the Gentiles. He wasn't fighting against those people who were worshiping other gods at that time. He wasn't fighting those people. He wasn't fighting the people who opposed him and the sorcerers and the different people who came against him. He wasn't fighting against those people. He was fighting a spiritual fight. He had his armor on, and he enlisted help from others. My God assignment's big, and I need help. Can you pray for me that I will complete my God assignment? Church, we need your prayers. Rock Church and World Outreach Center needs your prayers. I, Pastor Dan, need your prayers. Pastor Luke, Pastor Jim, Pastor Deborah, all of our pastoral staff need your prayers. Our leaders and our volunteers, we need your prayers. Our children's ministry workers and nursery workers, rocking babies, we need your prayers. Church, let's get in the fight together. Let's do this arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. Because after the armor's on, that's when the action happens. And I didn't put on armor to just go play. Well, hit me in the face and let's see if it hurts. No, I put on my armor because there's an enemy out there that's taking people out. And I'm not going to put up with that from any devil. I'm not going to stand for that in this valley or in this nation or in this world. I'm not going to let him get away with it. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus has ascended to heaven. He's at the right hand. And now there's a message that needs to get out. And even though there's resistance, we're going to fight the good fight of faith because we win and we'll be standing at the end. Tonight, what did we learn? After your armor's on, number one, stay connected to God. Number two, there's a fight ahead. Get ready for it. It's going to happen. Number three, pray. And number four, enlist help. Did you guys get something from the Word tonight? Come on, let's give God a great big praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.